Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry blend and orange hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
This is the High Hopes Podcast.
High Hopes!
On the Odyssey app and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
The crowd was singing high.
Yo, it is another edition of the High Hopes Podcast presented by Miller Lite, official sponsor of the Philadelphia Phillies. Tastes like Miller Time Philadelphia. Celebrate responsibly. Fritzy, I'm of two minds right now because I am celebrating internally right now with how much fun we had last night at Maxie's with all the people that came out. So many of our people met a bunch of new people. College kids listen to the pod. They were listening to radio. The kids are all right. So I felt great about the experience we had last night. Much less great about the baseball game itself, which I'll be completely honest, I did not see the end of. That rain delay happened. I was like, well, your boy's going to bed. Obviously didn't end well. How you feeling, buddy?
I mean, obviously pretty fraudulent by you, per usual.
Oh, I will own it, brother. Own it. 3 o'clock in the morning? Nope.
Oh, the game.
And let me tell you, after I found out what happened, in hindsight, I feel incredibly great about my decision.
Yeah, so we'll get to it first. Maxie's was awesome. Great great spot right on campus, which was interesting. And I called James the way home, and I said, wow, I felt old there.
Oh, my God, I know. And I was like, Jack, imagine how I feel. And then I told Jack that if the average age of kids there was about 21-ish, maybe 22 at most, that those kids there were closer to Zoe's age than my age. So that was really cool to come to that realization.
Well,
it's like, wow, great.
What was so impressive about the crowd is that we gave some throwback answers. Now, Neighbor Dan got the one that was about Boa, of course. But I mean, we got a Dick Allen from a college kid. We got Tommy Joseph pull. From a college kid.
Which was shocking. Now, we did get the flip side. We got the hilarity of when the Larry Bowe answer, Jack asked the question, what Phillies player gave Harry Callis the idea to say that ball's out of here? And a kid just yells out, Ryan Howard! And the whole bar went up in laughter. It was pretty great.
That was a tough scene. That was a tough scene. Because I was thinking about it. The Tommy Joseph trade happened, I believe. I mean, those kids had to be 8.
Oh my God.
I know.
We were going to make ourselves feel older than we already do.
I like it, but I don't like it, obviously, because it means I'm getting older. But I like that I'm getting to the stage of, wow.
Yeah.
It's a level of superiority that I didn't know existed. I guess that's why you old heads are so snooty all the time.
That's right. That's why you're always like, why you act like you're right all the time? It's because like I've lived, man. I know.
Experience things. Yeah. Experience things. But as we discussed in a private group text, your music knowledge is pretty limited.
It's way better. I know more about you and music than you and Elliot combined times 10. Nonsense. Enough of this. You are pretty decent at music knowledge and accruing music knowledge and like, oh, the Beatles, I should learn about the Beatles and listen to the Beatles. Oh, Bob Dylan, I should check. Like, you're great at that. It's really that Elliot adds nothing to the equation from a music perspective other than like whatever the cool song is right now.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. He really has. I'm going to have no problem getting older. He is going to really struggle with it.
It's going to go against everything he believes in.
Well, you know? I can't wait till he's in his mid-40s still doing the hand twirl. You know, when he's about to go in, you know, on the dance floor, the hand twirl. Okay. Enough Elliot. So a sign that I am definitely reaching cook status is, you know, I made it to the 10th last night.
Oh, so you actually made it through the rain delay, kept watching, and then couldn't finish. Oh,
well, because tough. There was a sick part of my brain last night was saying, I can't be asleep for like a 1:30, 2 in the morning Phil's ending. That's what draws you to baseball.
It puts hairs on your chest. You know, we're talking about getting older and stuff. That's real baseball.
Yeah. You know? It's what turns, you know, boys into men.
That's right.
Now obviously there's girls into women. But you know,
girls into women, boys into men. Exactly.
Exactly. You know, we cover all audiences here. So but yeah, I was like, I can't go to bed. And then it was like the 10th. I was doing well, but I could feel the eyes closing. Mm. You know, I would miss a pitch or two and then wake up.
Which is such a horrible feeling when you're like really want to stay. Yeah, and you know you're slipping. Obviously, you know, when you're driving, that's the worst feeling and you should pull over when that happens. But like feeling, you know, we've all been there where you're super tired driving. Like any situation that where you're like really trying to stay awake and you can feel it. And you know, like it's one thing if you just fall asleep and you're like, ah, damn, that's it. I fell asleep. It's another thing where you're like falling asleep and fighting it. And you're like, I'm going to keep my eyes open. And then they droop and it's the worst.
It's a tough one. And I went horizontal. So the feet went up. At that point, it was over. So
yeah, the moment you decided to lay down on the couch, you were done.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I woke up to Barkan screaming at me at 1:30, you know, which was quite the scene. But no, actually, Amy was on pre and post last night. That's my fault. But no, yeah. So woke up, obviously did not go back and rewatch, and then went back and rewatched this morning. Mm. Pretty excruciating. I actually watched it. I saw Ozuna just launch a first pitch fastball from Joe Ross. And I said, not a bad – I'm kind of glad I fell asleep, to be completely honest with you.
Me too.
I wouldn't want to feel like I wanted to die at 1:30 in the morning or whatever when the game ended. It was a painful last couple of innings there. I mean, just horrible execution all around. Now, there's a lot to be excited about. I'm actually not kidding. There's a lot.
I couldn't tell if you were serious or not.
No, dude. Like,
Lizardo. I mean, you could be stoked about Lizardo and should be.
There's more. Oh, there's more. Now, ooh. I know. Now,
I wasn't expecting it. So go ahead.
I know they lost last night, but for me, last night was a win.
Oh, like, expound.
215-592-9494. So, first off, Lizardo went shove city.
Especially after a tough first inning and just settled it.
Well, it wasn't even it was a tough first inning. Yes, run, but, yeah, but dude, freaking, I thought that Matt Olson at bat was going to go for
like
an hour.
12 pitches, 13 pitches, something like
you
that.
You could tell me, you could have told me it was 20. You could have told me that was a 20 pitch at bat. It went on forever. It was brutal. And the only thing that was mildly concerning about Jesus Lizardo's start for me was that he was down to like 95 after that inning. So it and every time he throws, it's a little bit like watching Embiid, where it's like, is he going to get hurt?
Is he going to get hurt?
And that was the only thing that was concerning. But even at 95, what I thought was encouraging is, yeah, I think the Olsen battle was in either the third or fourth. And he still finished out he retired the last eight batters, even with
he got through six. Yeah.
Yeah, so even with depleted stuff, But man, it's just because I don't think his slider was as bullety as it was on Friday against the Dodgers.
It was more of a gutted out outing. Mm-hmm. You're right. Yeah, it didn't feel really at any point like his stuff was quite as sick as it was in the home opener or the.
But that's huge for him though. Like that's developing into a pitcher. And that's the biggest thing that Lizardo has to do. We know you can get strikeouts. We know that you have sick stuff, that you're going to show up all over Pitching Ninja. We know that. But it's developing into a pitcher. And I thought last night was a good example of that. Now, some bullpen pieces. Carlos Hernandez. You want to talk about it was 11:30 at night, 11:40 at night, that I didn't even need a little bit of jolt of energy. Mm-hmm. When Tom McCarthy uttered the sentence that they've been working on tightening up his curveball.
Oh, my God. The whole Delaware Valley swooned in that moment.
I almost ran upstairs and woke up Jill and the kids. It was a huge moment. Because
poor Jill and what she has to deal with on a daily basis.
Because, listen, my theory was that they were getting him in the lab with Cotham. And they didn't want to unleash Carlos Hernandez to the rest of the world until he was perfect. And I thought last night was a big step towards them perfecting Carlos
Hernandez.
Perfect. I love a three-pitch mix on a reliever.
I do too, for what it's worth. It's fun. And it matters. Yeah, exactly.
You need it in 20.
Like, unless you have two elite pitches, like you need a third, you know? Mm-hmm.
So he's up to 98. He spotted a 99 down on the outside corner to freaking Kelenic, who they walked four times this series.
It's all they ever do. Like, Kelenic is like, it's funny because he's like, he's not like Josh Bell in that it feels like he kills us. It's that it just feels like he does annoying things to us every time. Like, Kelenic is not a good baseball player.
He stinks.
And yet against the Phillies, he's always on base. He's always making plays. Like, he's always doing something against us.
No, and everyone's like, well, that's his best prospect in baseball. He stinks. Oh, yeah. He stinks.
Remember that? Those
he
days?
He stinks.
Many days ago?
He stinks. So, yeah. But he walks Kelenic. I get it. We know. But he flashed the curveball. He has a nice little split, and he's up to 99. So, listen, pretty geeked up about Carlos Hernandez. We'll see how this thing develops. I definitely would much prefer him over Joe Ross in high leverage situations.
Mm.
That's the issue with the bullpen, is that these guys are pitching one rung above their hierarchy.
Where they're like, supposed to be.
Joe Ross is a middle
fifth
of the
game. Fifth or sixth inning guy. Yeah, exactly right.
Takes down two innings if your starter can only go four, and then maybe develops into something else. You can't bring Joe Ross back. He's not a back-to-back guy. His first fastball.
Much as both like high leverage, like obviously last night extras, and then the day before, what was it, like the 7th-8th inning they brought him in a tie game or whatever, or they were the tie at the time, whatever. It's like, what are we doing, man? And they all have other guys. That's the problem.
No, they had the lead actually with that one. So
that was a 3-2 game or 2-1, whatever it was. Maybe it was 1-0, and then they gave up the two. No, because Ruiz gave up 2-1.
It was 3-2.
It was 3-2, right. And then he gave it up to tie 3-3. Yep. The homer to Riley. Tank shot. Gave up a no doubt about it homer. Yes.
I've said this 8 times on the radio this week and on the final out. There is no – I think the Phillies' best skill, like if they have one thing that they are actually like great at, it's heating up Austin Riley. It's
unbelievable.
They're so good at it. They're so good at it. He was hitting 143 heading into the series, and I've never been more terrified. So, yeah, they no one's better at heating up Austin Riley quite like the Phils. But Joe Ross's first pitch was 91. His first pitch last night was 90. Mm-hmm. His first pitch two nights ago.
This guy missed 2 years of baseball with injuries. I know that Topper doesn't have many options out there right now, but like, what are we doing?
It's funny. So he had no now. We can't do the thing where we say you have to manage a bullpen. These guys are going to die by June, and then get mad when he doesn't use Kirkering.
Oh, but, I agree. No, yeah, I get it.
I mean, if you're going to pitch Joe Ross two innings the night before, and then bring him right back out in a situation where you have the lead and a chance to win a baseball game, and Kirkering, all he did was warm up.
Have to go to Kirkering there, 100%.
He got hot. I mean, that does matter. I know people think that pitchers in the bullpen don't affect your pitch count, but they do. You know, so, but at the same time, like, you have a chance to close out a game against your rivals and step on a throat. So it's tough. It's tough balance. I would have just gone to Kirkland, but I understand they have to just kind of stay at these arms. So Ross, no. Jose Ruiz, fine. Carlos Hernandez, stock flying up. And it was a very positive Jordan Romano.
There we go.
Now, maybe, just maybe, he needs about
4 days rest between each outing. Yeah, exactly.
A week off in between.
Real valuable outings. Guy to have.
But that fastball is back up to 97. I tell you what, James, 97 plays. 97 plays. And this, again, talk about getting a little excited at about midnight after a rain delay and hanging out all night with people. But they said he made a mechanical adjustment in the bullpen this week.
Ooh,
yeah.
You know I am a sucker for a good mechanical adjustment.
Man.
I mean, I based my whole NOLA thing a couple years ago off of mechanical. I was like, oh, he's going to be great because of the mechanical. Yep. That was it. That's the only thing. So, yeah, I'm right there with you.
Mechanical adjustments work 100% of the time.
100%. I've never seen one not work. It's true.
Until they don't.
All right. So then before we get to some other issues with the team, and look, they lost a series. It's not the end of the world. They weren't going to win every series all year. Like, and it was a really freaking close series. Like, every single one of those games could have gone either way. But so just before we move on from the pen, because I think there's three things that people are really frustrated with right now. I think one of them is the bullpen. How do you feel in general? You just talked about certain guys and kind of a little better Romano, but they're working Alvarado a ton already. They're working Kirkring a ton already. They're working Strom a lot already. Like, where are you at with the pen and the whole situation moving toward, like, cause we're still like, yes, they can trade for relievers, but that's not going to happen now. Like, no one makes trades in April and May. Like, it just doesn't happen. So where are you at?
Well, it's one of those moments where I'm thankful for this podcast because it's hard for me to echo this sentiment on the radio in the way that we have to do it, which is usually bang, 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 bang.
Yes.
That's where this podcast comes in. They're kind of screwed. They're kind of screwed until the trade deadline. So, and listen, I love a good minor league call up like the next guy.
That was going to be my follow up question is like, is there anyone we could, like, obviously not a Kirkring where we're saying like this guy can come up and be who's there? You know?
Okay. So let me lay this out for you. So if you want to go to Reading, all I'm saying is that Griff McGarry didn't walk a guy. And maybe now the problem with McGarry always is that he goes to Reading, shoves. Now he is like, what, 25 at Reading, which is, he might be older than 25. I have no idea. Yeah. It feels like he's been around forever. But the problem is he can't adjust to the AAA balls. And that's where the walks start happening. So, McGarry, Chassé is the one at Reading, I think, more than McGarry. I'm actually a little surprised they didn't start him at Lehigh Valley, but maybe they just want to build him up a little bit. And then they got Iverson Castellano back from the Twins after the Rule 5 thing. He was disgusting the other night. Took down, I think, 3 innings in the middle of the game and struck out 5. And he threw some splitter. Maybe it was a curveball. I don't know. The minor league feeds are a little grainy. That dropped off the face of the earth. So, and he was up to 97, which is very exciting as well.
It's a grainy.
And he was in big league camp. He was in big league camp. So he could be an option possibly if you want to go to Reading. Now, in AAA, My boy John McMillan's cooked. I'm sorry.
Oh, that was a short run for John McMillan, you know, of excitement. You had basically had one pod where you were really excited about him.
Some said he was the next Jeff Hoffman. And then his fastball in 2 weeks went from 100 to 92. And
that's not a good thing.
And we jumped
off.
Hurt?
Is he hurt?
Well, he's perpetually hurt. Yes.
Yeah, there you go. Dude.
So that's a sad one. But I think Max Lazar is interesting. He was obviously up last year. He's got up to 96 out of the bullpen. They moved him right into the bullpen. So they didn't even bother trying to start him. So I think that's relatively interesting. And we know about the cutter.
I love you saying it like we know. Everyone knows about the cutter.
Well, from AAA standards, probably the Mariano Rivera of AAA cutters.
Whoa,
but
that is a statement.
I'm just kidding. But there's this guy they claimed off waivers.
Mariano Lazar. There we go.
Yeah. This guy they claimed off waivers from, I think, Toronto, Brett DeGeis. is interesting. He's got some power stuff. Oh, my God. No, well, I'm just, you asked.
I know, you're right. I know. No,
what'd you expect? What'd you expect?
No, you're right. You're right.
This is on you know. More than
this is really, it is my fault. You're right. Yeah, I blame myself.
You didn't want Brett the Geist talk 17 minutes into the podcast? This is, by the way.
Honestly, it wasn't ripping Brett. It was more that like, oh, some cast off from the Blue Jays is like, maybe he can help out. The situation than the name.
Well, that's the issue is that, you know, you watch these guys at AAA, right? And it's, oh, he's interesting. And then. And then you got
to
face.
They come to majors and they walk everyone they face, or get crushed. Yeah.
And it's so different. It's just so different. So I don't want to. Again, I would never get ahead of myself with any pitching things. So I don't want to do that again. But I do think they have to.
never.
They have. Do have some relatively interesting arms that they want to kind of cycle through and see if any of them pops. But I really do think Carlos Hernandez can pop.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro. You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com. Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Now, the one name that's out there, I don't, just kick the tires and see what he looks like, is David Robertson.
I mean, you've been doing it as a bit, but at this point, like, why not?
He's 40.
Gets out.
He always gets outs.
Like, he just keeps getting, he knows how to get to outs, you know? Like,
His last month and a half last year, he had a 2.25 ERA.
There you go.
He's not signed now. He might want like $7 million, but whatever. I mean, the frustrating part about the bullpen is I watch him every night, and you watch the team every night, and everything I feel good about. I mean, offense is going to do their thing sometimes where Castellanos is going to strike out.
Yeah, Castellanos. It looks awesome all year. He's not chasing the outside pitch, batting 308, and then it's like, oh, you put him in the four hole, five strikeout.
Exactly.
It's crazy.
Well, I love the people that are like, Thompson, get some protection for Harper.
Yeah, it's a who? Anyone who gets in that spot forgets how to hit. It's like as soon as they have to protect Harper, it's like, wait, what? How do I do this? Oh, swing at everything. Got it.
Yeah. So I watch him every night. You watch him every night. Our people watch him every night. And you see a possibly great team, right? I think that you feel really good about a lot with the baseball team. The pitching staff is phenomenal. Lozardo Lazarda looks
Trey
the
Turner
part.
Looks like a nice start to the year. Harper, we feel great. Schwarber is MVP of the league through a couple weeks. I mean, there have been, but like, let's, to your point, let's get, because I think the bullpen is the biggest issue right now in terms of it's hard to fix in the moment. But
in the moment, yes. But it can get upgraded very quickly. Like, well, that's the nice part about it.
So that's where I was about to go, is that you can upgrade. And even the guy like Max Lazar, these guys can come up and give you quality innings. Like, we see that happen. The Alec Bohm thing, and we talked about this last pod a bit, but to me, that feels like a maybe not immediately the bigger moment than the bullpen struggling until they can figure out roles, figure out guys. Carlos Hernandez maybe steps up. Who knows? Like, the Bohm thing, that feels like a problem that unless this guy is all of a sudden going to find a way to grow up and change his mentality, like, I don't know how it gets much better right now.
You don't agree with Elliot that it's good? How much he cares? No. It's like Nick Sirianni?
No. You had a great line to Elliot in our thread the other night where he said something and you were like, can you just leave us alone? And when Elliot starts talking Phillies, like, that is the energy that I feel. It's like, just back
just leave
up,
us alone. Right?
Just chill. Okay.
Yeah. I know what you're doing. Leave me alone.
I know what you're doing.
And so, yes, the Bohm situation is big. Last night felt like the first step towards an eventual just sit him for a couple of days. And I brought this up on Final Out and Leading Off last night before the game and the night before. This is also in Ring the Bell. It's in the book.
Ring the Bell book. You haven't given me credit, by the way. You gave me crap on the first pod. Where's the book? I bought it a while ago, and it hasn't been mentioned.
No, yeah, thank you. Oh, yeah, I meant to bring it up on the podcast.
Sure you did. Yep.
Tucker still hasn't bought it. Yeah. But
I was expecting the free copy, the nice inscription of, how much it means to the pod and how the pod has helped with the book and how, mentor for your career and all the good stuff, kind of, and I get nothing.
Yeah, we'll see. It seems like
I spent the money to buy the book. Like every
a lot
other
of people,
person out there.
A lot of people want to get in the acknowledgments page. Spike and Ike also very much want to be in there. Now you're more in it than they are, but I will.
Okay.
Have to,
thank you.
Yeah.
And that's right. Now, I mean, I should be.
Now we did just get the first copy back or whatever from the publisher. 458 pages. So might have been a little long-winded at points, but whatever.
Hey, it's all good stuff. I mean, you're talking to a guy who reads 1,200 pages on a regular, so I'm ready for it. I can't wait.
Probably should be in about the 350 pages. But I mean, we got to break down every single game.
Jack is better than less Jack. That's what Kevin, shout out to Kevin Reavy. I'm not trying to.
By the way,
great guy. I've met Kevin. He's a friggin' awesome, awesome guy.
Way better writer than I am.
Well, we all know that he's like, if it is well written, it's because he helped fix some
for
stuff
sure.
you wrote.
For sure.
Yeah, of course.
Way better writer.
So he's a writer. He's a writer.
I'm a talker. I basically wrote it like voice to text. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's basically.
We do know how much you love voice to text. You are the king of sending me. Honestly. I don't know that I get a voice text. Maybe I'll get like one a month from anyone else. I get them from you like four times a week.
Well, because I'm sick and tired of people misunderstanding freaking text messages. And I know.
Whoa! So, welcome to the podcast, Jack. It's a family pod.
I'm so sick and tired of people misunderstanding it. People don't like when I call them anymore. So I send them.
You are a big call people guy.
Yeah, out of the blue. And so I sent voice texts and everyone can deal with it. So it gets deleted immediately,
I hate them so much. Every time I see them, I'm like laying in bed with Emily and Zoe or something, and I'll be like, hold on, guys. Let me put a headphone on so I can listen. Or you can also listen to the voice text and Jack just said they're so
inconvenient. But could be inappropriate, so maybe not appropriate for children.
I usually put that button. Yeah.
So ringthebellbook.com. Seltzer's mentioned in it, and it's long, and we might have to cut some of it out. But regardless,
I can't wait for it. It's gonna be awesome.
And it's probably coming in June, so it's all good. But in 2009, they sat Jimmy Rollins for five games for a mental error in Tampa where he threw the wrong base. And If they felt like that's the thing that annoys me about modern baseball is that they're so fixated on winning every game. And I know that sounds crazy, but hear me out. Is that I know that you want to win every game, but also I think that they're on the verge of losing Alec Baum. That's my gut feeling in watching him every single night. Now, to his credit, I thought he smoked some balls last night that just happened to be right at people. So maybe bumping him down the lineup is going to get him going.
Take the pressure off a bit.
But it looks like a classic. Just sit him down for a couple days.
Let him get his head right.
Don't even bring your spikes to the ballpark. He looks lost. And see how he comes back after that. Because the best version of the Phillies is still with Alec Boehm being a productive 100%. That's
like
where...
Like this whole idea of like, they're like, well, just trade him for a reliever. It's like, trading Alec Boehm for a reliever at the deadline is insanity from an organizational perspective. They might have to do it. We'll see how this all plays out. If they lose him, whatever. But that we talked, like, that's likely pennies on the dollar for what you could have, what he's worth if he's right and playing.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe at the deadline they have to. It gets that bad.
Yeah. They have to. Maybe they get a really good reliever, a cost control guy back. Like, that. Who knows if Alec picks, like, there's all kinds of ways it could go. But it's certainly trending towards, you know, not getting out of him what you should get out of him, both as a player and then as an asset.
Now, what's very exciting is they're heading to St. Louis this weekend, which is a place where he smokes baseballs. So maybe getting back to St. Louis, getting back in the Midwest kind of gets us going.
By closer the way, to Nebraska, you know, kind of feel of home. Yeah.
I love that Phillies team of my lifetime, I can't go back to the 90s and the 70s like you can. But I like the bit of having one guy that just has unbelievable numbers in St. Louis. Like Ryan Howard's number.
Oh,
well,
that was the, yeah, for sure.
I will never forget. It might not have been two straight games, but it felt like two straight games where they scored 20 runs in each of them. There was that period where they would go out there and hang a 20 burger on the Cardinals. But yeah, so maybe going back to St. Louis, maybe he gets a little comfortable, maybe a little showcase series, maybe the Cardinals are like, wow, maybe we will trade you.
Look at that guy.
Helsley.
Yeah. Here, we'll give you, just throw Arenado in and Helsley and, you know, let's go.
No, Nado. We are.
Yeah. Just going to replace third baseman.
No.
Aiden,
no,
you think he's going to be ready?
No, we'll get to Aiden in a little bit. No. Okay. I told you, I think I might have texted you this the other night. I mean, the Phillies are Brendan Donovan away from winning the World Series.
Oh, you did text me. Yeah, you did text me this. Yeah, you did. Yep.
Brendan Donovan is a perfect. I love. He might be my favorite player in baseball. He's hitting like 370. He never strikes out. Doesn't chase. Plays third, second in the outfield. It wanted him in the perfect offseason. I would take like so many Cardinals. There's a lot of Cardinals that I like, but a Brendan Donovan, Ryan Helsley package at the deadline, you're winning the World Series. Simple as that.
Predicted the World Series win, so let's hope they follow up with that and make it happen.
You know what's so funny about that prediction? Is it's so good before the season, and then the second you start
again, it's so much worse once the season starts. It hangs over you.
Well, because I'm like, I can't wait to get rid of this guy. They're still winning. The
didn't you just say? Yeah, exactly. All right, speaking of which, because I got Grandparents' Day coming up. It's always cool. Shout out to Mimi, my mom, coming down for Grandparents' Day. And Emily's mom, obviously, too. Shout out to Sue. I want to get to it.
Does she go by Sue or does she have a grandmom name too?
She's Graham. So it's Graham and Mimi. Nice. Yeah.
We go Mimi and Gigi.
It's great. Gigi's a good one. I feel like that's a classic. Mimi's a classic. So gotta go with the classics.
Yeah, Mimi's hot in the streets right now.
Is it? So the reason with Mimi was just because, you know, I called my grandmother Mimi and my mom kind of just stuck with it or whatever. And same thing, actually, that Emily called her grandma Graham, and then Graham happened. So it kind of just was like passed down.
The problem with the younger grandmothers, the seemingly younger grandmothers, they don't like being called grandma.
Yes, I could see that. Yes. They're probably like, no, 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 no.
Yeah, I'm Mimi.
Yeah, I get that.
Meanwhile, I called my grandma and my granddad. Because they looked way older than my parents.
So I called my Nana and Pop, but that's definitely older sounding. Like, you're a Nana and Pop. You're like, that doesn't, you can't pull off. Mimi or Gigi sounds much younger than Nana. You know,
Nana. Yeah, Nana.
Right? I mean, Nana's about as old sounding a name as you can get.
So, Nana's perpetually.
Yeah, I got both sides. So Mimi was my mom's, and then Nana and Pop my dad's side. All right. One other thing I want to get to, and then a quick take back. But the Marsh Rojas of it all. I think if you look at the Phillies right now and say, all right, where are they lacking? And we talked about the bullpen. We talked about the bone thing. I think the third clear thing is I don't think they have a major league player in center field on any night. That's not fair. I think Marsh is a major league player. I think he's a fourth. I think he's a fourth outfielder. You know, that's my point. They do not have a major league starter playing center field ever. Like, where are you at with that?
Yeah. So I got to rack the numbers real quick because I want to make sure I'm right. Yeah. So Marsh, I believe now is hitting 205 ish since the All-Star break last year.
Oh God. I was going to be like, wow, I would have guessed he's lower for the year. 205 since the All-Star. Wow.
With 81 strikeouts.
Oh my God. Really?
And only 24 walks. Not great.
Buddy.
Not great. Not great. So
for a part-time player over that time to have 81 strikeouts since then. Wow.
And I think
his strikeout percentage has got to be.
I think it's like 251 at bats.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot of strikeouts.
Dude, he's striking out more than a third of his at bats. So bad.
Yeah. 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 There's been a lot of relitigating the Ohapi trade. It just sucks that Ohapi had nowhere to play.
I know, but the dude just crushes baseballs. Like, take him as a DH at this point. But anyway,
well, our DH.
It is what it is. Look, I'm not going to go. At the time, we were like, this makes sense. You're trading for a center fielder on the upswing, theoretically, and you're trading someone who's blocked. But like, clearly, you would rather have Logan Ohapi than Marsh, regardless of position, without a doubt.
Yeah, the Marsh thing is frustrating. So yeah, he is striking out all the time and not doing much damage and whatever. So
and he's gotten worse. Like, he's not developed. Like, we see so many guys who develop as players who get better. Like Brandon Marsh, I feel like 2022 is the best Marsh we've seen. Like, I feel like he's been worse and worse and worse every season here.
Well, beginning of last year, it was like, oh, there he is. There's the
nice start. And then it
cratered. And they got hot at the end of the year. But yeah, so it's definitely frustrating. I do wonder if, like, and this is on him, but I wonder if the Crawford thing is he's feeling the heat a little bit. But that's fine.
Are any of these guys mentally strong? Do we have any players on this team other like Bryce Harper who are mentally, and Kyle Schwarber, mentally strong?
Well, no, I think the veterans are strong.
Yeah, I know. But like, what is going on with this? Like,
I know.
We've got two regulars on the team who can't handle it.
I think, to his credit, I think Stott definitely.
Oh yeah, I think Stott's done a really nice job.
He hangs in there. If you ask me, who am I still the most bullish on out of the trio of the daycare?
It's Bohm, right? It's got to be.
No, I would say Stott.
Oh, the daycare. Oh, it's Stott. I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about the guys who were. They're talking about Marsh and Bohm.
Like,
I think it's Stott by a mile. Like, I don't even think it's close for me. Like, Stott of the daycare is easily the one I feel the most confident in.
And by the way, I think he's getting back to some vintage Stott at bats. He's fouling off a lot of pitches. And like, because when he gets loopy and the swing gets long and he's popping, that is enough to make you just drive yourself crazy when Stott's doing that. When he can just be gap to gap, singles up the middle, be a great bat to ball guy, be a pain in the ass to the opposing pitcher. That's the Bryce Stott you want to see. Now, again, not the leadoff spot. We don't need the, I know he's America's leadoff hitter, but keep him down in the lineup.
Funny. America's leadoff hitter is funny. That's good.
But I think Stott's getting, I think he's starting to turn
progressing.
Marsh and Bohm are two huge concerns. And I think with Crawford, now Crawford had it was tough. An 0-for-5 last night up at Lehigh Valley.
He had a triple the night before though. So that
he was hitting 325, so that was good. I wonder.
He's just really young. Like, Crawford's 21 years old. Like, that's super young still. I know their prospects come up and he can compete at that level. I mean, Bobby Witt's like still 21, which is crazy. You're 22 or whatever. It's nuts. But like, I mean, it is young. You know, it is young for a player to ascend in the major leagues and start.
Yeah, but I think the way that this season is trending, The way the season is trending, I think they're going to need that midsummer spark, and it feels like that's when we get the. I don't think the Marsh thing. I think they give him another month or two. I don't think this is like tomorrow they're going to bring Justin Crawford up. So I think this is definitely maybe. And I just wonder. I think they're ready for. I think they're since they couldn't do it in a trade this offseason, I think they're ready to shake this whole thing up a little bit. And their whole thing has been businesslike, and we need to be more locked in. I think you're seeing more signs of that, which is good. I think that the Crawford pushing Marsh, and again, Aiden, he's in the take back. I mean, he's off to a really cold start. He's hitting like 100 up at Reading right now.
And he's even younger than Crawford.
He's younger.
what it's worth. Yeah.
He's younger.
He's really young.
So
like, I would love if Aiden was your third baseman this year. I don't think as a Phillies fan you should count on Aiden Miller contributing this year.
Yeah, I mean, again, maybe he's going off in September and you have to, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Exactly,
But I think that the Painter coming up and him energizing the ball club and Crawford possibly energizing the ball club, I think with Crawford, you're getting a guy that will most likely put the bat on the baseball. Like his strikeout rate isn't super high in the minor leagues. He's hit 300 everywhere he's gone. Now, there's way better defensive players up here, so I'm sure that'll go down a little bit. But at least I think he's going to put the bat on the baseball. And I don't know.
His speed, you know, enough times he's going to beat stuff out, whatever. Like that, you can get by that way.
How could I forget my boy? I mean, Rincón is starting to heat up. So. Yeah, again, I think Rincones is definitely more of an injury call-up because I think Kepler would have to get hurt or really, really crater here. But I think he's looking better. He had a couple hits in each back-to-back nights. And Castellanos is Castellanos. They're not moving him. So yeah,
it would probably they wouldn't even move him for Kepler, who had never played left field before. Even Castellanos had. They're like, no, he's a right fielder. So.
Yes. So that would probably take an injury to bring Rincones up. But again, I think that they might look for a spark midseason, and maybe it's one of the kids. But you know, yeah, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But the Marsh thing is Marsh and Bohm are just brutal right now.
Yeah. And again, of those two, I have more faith in Bohm.
Sure.
All right. Quick take back. I got a few minutes left.
Yeah. I don't have too much in here.
That's great because grandparents stay back in. Yeah.
Oh, the one guy that I think needs to get on a bus to Reading or maybe a flight to Reading is Titan Hayes. I know you've been begging for the next Kirkering. I don't think he's Kirkering,
his name's Titan. Like that, I'm already in. You had me at Titan Hayes.
Yeah. Now, and he can make up for it. Like J.D. Hammer walked so Titan Hayes could run. J.D. Hammer, great bullpen name.
What a great line. You were so right. Titan Hayes is like, that's like an elite bullpen. Jack Fritz name tests, you know, old school stuff. That is like, I'm fully in on him just because of his name.
Well, and he's got long hair. He's got like it's a blonde long hair.
That makes it even better.
He's up to 98. He's up to 98 with a pretty nasty like sweeper. So Titan Hayes is someone that maybe could get on the fast track here because he was drafted as a reliever in like the 11th round. So what's the point of having him in Clearwater?
Sure. Yeah.
So his stuff kind of pops and maybe he could be factored in here. I don't know.
I mean, look, Kirkering made a difference when he came up, you know, his first time. I mean,
until they said, hey, you know what? We're going to use you in the Diamondbacks.
I know you're cooked and you've pitched. You were in single A earlier this year, low A, but you know what? We're just going to keep pushing you and see if you can handle it.
I know you jumped five levels in a year, but you know what we're going to do?
Right. You pitch more innings than you've ever pitched times, like whatever. You know, it's like, yeah, just keep going. Yeah,
get back out there.
You got
So.
Craig will be following you up. So just keep it inning. Then we got Craig. We're set.
Yeah. So I guess last thing here is I've been thinking a lot about Ranger. Ranger had a good debut last night. I think he threw 24 strikes out of 32 pitches, I think.
By the way, shout out to Taiwan Assange. Another nice and amazing before and 2/3, 10 and 2/3 shout out. I'm just saying. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Saiwan is what some are calling it.
We had a caller say that. Saiwan is phenomenal. Another great name. His name really lends itself to these things. It's good.
He is turning himself into like a
bit of a folk hero.
Well, it's crafty righty stuff, I guess.
Oh yeah, he's like he's actually making like he's gonna turn himself into. He's the new Dylan Covey.
Yeah, sure.
Jordan Miles. Yeah, like all right, hey, you know what? It's a 6-2 game in the fourth or the third. And we're losing 6-2. We've used up all our guys. You know what, Tyron, go out and eat four for us. Like he's gonna be that kind of guy.
Yeah, just throwing stuff against the wall and seeing if it sticks. That's what a Tyron outing is relegated to. But I wonder if he continues to pitch well, and this is a big if. I don't think he translates very well to the bullpen. That's obvious. He doesn't have power stuff.
Yeah.
But they're going to probably keep him on the roster. I wonder if they would piggyback Ranger in him. If the bullpen's going to be as shaky as it seems like it's going to be until
just
the trade deadline.
Like 5-1 and 4 from the other kind of thing?
Yeah. I mean, get you.
I mean,
to the
yeah, that's the hope. You would hope that they take down the game for you. And obviously, if you need bullpen, you need it. But that's the concept is what you're talking about.
Basically, and I think they did this. It was either 21 or 22 when he came back from injury. They piggybacked him out of the bullpen, and then he eventually turned into the closer at one point, and then went back to the rotation.
Right.
So I just wonder if it's a way to manage innings. It's a way to still get him a lot of innings so that teams maybe this offseason believe in him as a starter, because I think that's the one thing with Frazier and Scott Boras is they want to show to teams that he can.
Of course,
be a
I don't
pitcher.
Blame him.
So that's why I don't think he would ever just go to be a traditional bullpen guy. But maybe if they go six man with Ranger back, they make that 1-6 day. And when I say six man, yes, I know everyone's yelling. Zach Wheeler doesn't want to do it. You can keep him on his regular rest and pitch him. So we can get that one out of the way. But regardless, maybe they do that as a way to kind of manage the bullpen, not overwork them and run them into the ground. And you piggyback those two and see if you can get yourselves to the eighth, and then maybe the ninth inning you go to one of your lockdown guys with the lead. That could be a way to rectify the Ranger Suarez situation.
Love it. All right, I gotta go. This was fun.
I like we'll that you packed up in the middle of that answer.
I did. I gotta go. I pushed it. I told him I would be there at 10:45. I'm not gonna be there at 10:45, but all good. We'll be back after the Cardinals series. Can't wait. Either Sunday or Monday. We'll see how it plays out.
Okay.
All right. Again, thank you to everyone who came to Maxie's. That was awesome. We had a great time. We'll have another event coming up. We'll let you know as soon as it's locked in and all that. And until then, use Fritz and Seltzer.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.